Well, many listeners will recall the overwhelming reaction to RT Radio's Doc on One programme, Black Rock Boys, which recounted the story of brothers David and Mark Ryan, who were abused at Black Rock College in South Dublin. Their bravery inspired other survivors to act. Some survivors have been cooperating with the Spirit and Order, who co-ran Black Rock College, on a restorative justice programme. They have written to Minister Norma Foley today, expressing concern that any statutory inquiry could result in further delays to urgently needed justice and redress. We've been speaking with Corey McMahon from the group Restore Together, who said the publication of the investigation into their abuse will be a very difficult day for survivors.
I suppose it's the unknown that's difficult. And we would hope, our group Restore Together, that the victim's voice is front and centre at all times, and that our voices don't get lost behind the inquiry. Or I've noticed somewhere along the line that a redress scheme would be formulated after the inquiry, but the inquiry could go on for years and there are people that need help now.
So would that be one of the key things that you would be looking for then, is a prioritisation in relation to what happens next? What would that be for you?
Yeah. Well, redress, I suppose, is the most important thing. I mean, since this started, for particularly in Black Rock, it's been going on for years, but it's been really highlighted in the last 4 years. I've spoken to so many people, that men and women, who their main question really is, what do we do next? Most of the perpetrators or the abusers are dead. A large number of men and women and families are still alive and are looking for, you know, some sort of award to be given to them, that, I don't like using the word compensation, but award to acknowledge what happened to them, 50 years ago. I'm 64, so it was happened to me when I was 12. And that would be front and centre, that the orders couldn't slip into the slipstream of the inquiry and, you know, get away for another 4 or 5 years or 2 years, whatever it is, but that the voice of the victim is the most important thing from our perspective.
We know that the ministers have approved the reports to be published, and we know they've gone with the recommendation for a statutory inquiry into what happened. What would you like to see that contain?
The truth, I suppose. I mean, there were multiple abusers within the order that we are involved with, and very few of them have been held to account, because they're not alive now. So again, I just go back to the voice of the victim, that's paramount, that some sort of a redress system is set up that doesn't necessitate victims going to court, going down to the four courts and having to face barristers and the threat of judges and all of that kind of stuff. So that's a redress system that's non-adversarial. That's really what we'd be looking for, you know.
You're from the survivors group Restore Together. Can you tell us how things are moving when it comes to your restorative justice programme?
Restorative justice came about, we started looking at this about 20 years ago, but we really got our feet under us about 4 years ago. And we made inquiries through various experts in relation to child sexual abuse, and restorative justice was the one that came to the fore. We were asked to find a facilitator, and we found a guy called Tim Chapman from the North, who sat with over 50 men and women and families to hear their story, and members of the Spirit and congregation sat in as well to hear what actually happened to them. And apparently, I went and did it one myself. There was great healing in it, great sense of a shift in power, and it's ongoing. So, you know, there's been a bit of a lull because there hasn't been an awful lot about this, but I think they saw over 50 people, as I say, men, women and families, and it worked well. It worked well. Anybody that I spoke to afterwards seemed to get a fair bit out of it. And then the next piece is redress that has to be dealt with, you know.
And when it comes to that restorative discussion you were having there, I guess what it sounds like, it's an attempt to allow you to live with it as opposed to ever necessarily being able to get over it. That's the nature of what's happened.
Yeah, to live with it. You know, and a lot of the people that would have come forward, they came forward. This was the first time they ever spoke out. They ever told anybody, family, friends, and they thought also that they were on their own. So out of the Restorative Justice Programme, we've set up healing circles and with the help of the Spiritans as well, where groups of people get together and they, you know, they don't necessarily talk about what happened, but they know that something happened to them within their time as children in institutions. And it, apparently, I haven't been one myself, but I've, from the guys that I know that have done it, again, a great sense of, you know, having other people that know what you're feeling, I suppose, more than talking about feeling. You know, when you think about it, like it happened to you when you were young. You get on with your life, it's very busy. Then you get to this part of your life and you begin to think maybe back over what happened. And, you know, it's harrowing. It's harrowing. And when you hear the stories about what happened as well, or the reports and it's awful that it's minimalized into, you know, I was abused. It should be far deeper than that, you know. So we have to try and continuously refer to what actually happened so that people can't hide behind that word, a simple word of abuse. You know, it's much, 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 much deeper and, you know, life-altering than that.
And that was Corey McMahon from the survivors group Restore Together.